Yeah, I don't like that at all. I don't like that at all. I don't like that Chris had a very accurate glimpse into the Thursday night that Michael Rogers and I had together. How are you feeling today, Slee?
Well, let me – I'm blind on all this. Did something happen last night that you shared with Morales that you failed to share with myself?
Well, see, okay, yes, I guess is the short answer.
Did you share anything with Emily?
No, because this is a
– Okay, cool. No, that's cool.
This is a Chris and Travis thing. Chris and I share a certain – shall we say weakness, that sometimes when something starts, we have trouble stopping. And last night, I went and had a couple of drinks with some friends, guys that I hadn't really had a chance to catch up with in a while. And we watched a little football, watched a little Ravens and Dolphins, and just chatted a little bit.
You got hammered. You had 40K on Miami. You walked away feeling good this morning.
Maybe tonight we'll do that. But no, we just went out and had a couple of drinks and caught up. And then I came home and Michael and I are home alone this weekend. My wife's out of town, and my daughter is with my wife. My other son is up in Oregon. So it was just the two of us, and I hadn't really eaten. And he says to me, "Hey, Dad, you hungry?" I said, "Well, yeah, a little bit, sure." And so the next thing you know, it's 9:30. There's a pizza in the house, and I'm just doing work. Just absolutely doing work. And I felt like Chris needed to know because he's the only person that can kind of relate. I don't like that he was like looking at my paper plates and all of those sorts of things, judging me from a distance. But that's what happened. It's just that Chris can kind of understand the weaknesses that I have for pizza late at night.
There's a connection there. There's a true, genuine connection there.
Don't worry. Me and Alan have all of our own separate text threads. We text every night. Don't worry.
So
we exclude you as well.
Emily, how about what I had for breakfast this morning? How crazy.
It looks so good. It was amazing.
Yeah, look, if you guys want to be included in my incredible lack of self-control,
I will let you know.
I can include you. If you want to see all the very worst parts of my personality, like Chris is a safe space for me. We don't judge each other. We just go in there. And,
except for that he makes it open about it.
You're right about that. No, that's true. I should have known better. I don't like that he knows that Michael's a Bob Seger fan. That means he's paying attention to all sorts of details. What do you got going this weekend, Al?
Okay, so we got Lakers. By the way, kind of a interesting little turnaround here for Lakers. So they'll play tonight against Minnesota. How about Sunday, 12:30 tip-off? I'll take a – no, that's a good thing. Don't you laugh.
No, I'm laughing.
I will take a 12:30 tip-off on a Sunday. It's like the equivalent
overtime.
Of you. Would you rather have a 10 a.m. Rams game or you want the 5:30 Sunday night game?
Sunday night game. It's prime time.
You want the Sunday night game?
Yeah, prime time game. Everybody's watching. It's night out. Everybody's excited to be out
there. You're lying to me right now. I swear we've had the conversation before where you like the early morning games.
Every NFL game should kick off at 10 a.m. and be done by 1 and go from there.
So let me throw this. Michael said this a couple times. I think actually this is a really, really good point. He said that once the NFL season is over, why doesn't that just start becoming 12:30 games on Sunday? Like, you could almost do it like the NFL.
That's
not
a bad
idea. There's something there.
No, look, early is better, especially on weekends.
Do a 12:30 game, do a 3 o'clock game. Like, there's ways to kind of do it. I mean, granted, you have Staples Center that has the Kings, the Clippers. I mean, they're obviously juggling things on Sunday, but.
See, basically what I was asking you was if you had anything else planned. Like last weekend, it was your birthday and you didn't say anything. So while you're giving me a hard time about Chris and I talking about our eating and drinking habits, you're going out and having secret birthday celebrations and not sharing it with either myself or Emily. See, we all have our little things.
Do me a favor. When your birthday comes up, I want you to wear like a birthday shirt, something that just says, "Hey, FYI,
streamers
this is the day I was born."
The thing that shoots out when you blow it, a kazoo or whatever that thing's called. I don't know exactly what that is, but we can do that.
I think as much as you try to give me crap for it, I think you and I are on the same page when it's no, you don't. You're not walking around with a megaphone telling me, hey, did you know what's coming up in a week and a half?
Yeah. Welcome to Starbucks. Can I take your order, sir? Well, since you asked, it's my birthday.
Yeah. But then you get gifts at Starbucks, so that's a good place to say it's your birthday.
I guess
so.
That's pretty funny.
I guess
that,
so. Yeah,
they don't even bring up anything that has anything to do with your birthday. It's like, well, since you're since you're leaning towards it, sounds like you already know.
Do you need bags today, sir, for your groceries? Well, since it's my birthday, I guess I better get some bags.
Still going to charge me for a bag on my birthday.
Sir, this is Albertsons. This isn't Ferrell's where we're going to put the sparklers in your ice cream. You ever a Ferrell's guy, Slee? You ever have to go to one of those places? Emily, do they have Ferrell's on the East Coast?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Is there one in Orange County?
There used to be.
I think they're gone.
I think the Ferrell's was like an ice cream parlor where on your birthday. Are they in Brea?
Oh, Brea. I think I've been to it.
They bring out what is basically like a wheelbarrow full of ice cream on your birthday.
Is it like Friendly's? Do you guys know what Friendly's is?
Okay. Kind of the same idea. Kind of the same idea as a Friendly. ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. And as always, not only do we tolerate, but we encourage your participation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, ESPN Nation, presented by Dr. Pepper. College football's back. So are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. Okay. OBJ is a Ram. It broke right before we went off the air yesterday, Al. And I don't know if the Rams need OBJ. And I don't know if the fit will be good. I think I've made it pretty clear that fit is important to me when we're talking about building winning teams and cultures and championships and all those sorts of things. But I'll be honest, the more that I thought about it, the more that I kind of considered, you know, the risk, the reward, and all of the things that go along with it, there's really no downside to doing this. The downside is if he comes in and he's the worst version of himself, right? He's combustible and he's calling out the quarterback and the coach and all this stuff. Just cut him. And you don't really lose anything. There's no real risk. And if he's the best version of himself, now all of a sudden the Rams, who already had an incredible wide receiving group with Kupp and Woods and Van Jefferson's coming along, now all of a sudden you add OBJ to that mix, and he's the best version of himself, you got something pretty cool.
Well, I'm not a fan that you, over the course of the last 18 hours, came to realize this actually might be a good fit for the Rams. It could be that there's nothing to lose there. But you're right. I mean, here's the reality. Reality is – you had a really, really good comparison that we were talking about. And I know it's not apples to apples, but I think the concept of what you have in mind here, you mentioned when we were doing our prep, you said that it makes you think a little bit of Dwight Howard in his second stint with the Lakers. Not the first, not the third, but his second stint with the Lakers, where you were kind of in a position of either you are going to prolong your career in the league or you're not. And it might not be apples to apples, because do I think next season Odell Beckham, whether it's with the Rams or somewhere else, is he going to be playing somewhere? Yeah, I do think he'll still be in the league and you know, obviously trying to contribute. But what makes this situation unique for the Rams is – for Odell Beckham. What an opportunity. You're not asked. It's not like you're coming on this team. Dwight, when he was, you know, earlier in his career, he was asked to be the best player on a team. He was asked to be the second best player on the team. You reached a point in your career where, wait a minute, so you just need me to come in for 15, 20 minutes a game, grab you some rebounds, play a little bit of defense, and then I could call it a day. And by the way, if we lose the game, no one's going to blame it on me.
No one's in my locker.
Zero is expectations.
Right.
Why is that any different than Odell Beckham coming into the Rams in this situation? I think there's some similarities here. Now, it's on Odell to kind of embrace the situation, the moment, the opportunity, a chance to win a Super Bowl, the market of Los Angeles, primetime games coming up, whether it's between now and the rest of the regular season or when you get to the postseason. It's up to him from there, but all you can kind of ask for is to be put in a good opportunity, and then it is up to you.
Yeah, I think that the Dwight comparison is spot on because here's where it breaks down a little bit. Here's where it matches up perfectly. You had a guy that was, like you just mentioned, in Dwight Howard, who was a megastar in the league, right? Odell Beckham Jr., megastar in the league. You have a guy that is a difference maker, a guy that is the best player on his team, a guy that does the offense runs through him, the guy that's the centerpiece of what it is that you're doing. And then you go somewhere else, and it's like, that's not quite what you are anymore. And now all of a sudden you get to the point, and Dwight had had a few more stops along the way than Odell has. Odell's only been on two different teams. But it got to the point where, you know what, dude, I'm not quite sure you're a great player anymore. And that's where we were with Dwight. We went to Atlanta. He went to Houston. He went to, what, Washington, Charlotte. He was kind of all over the place. And it was, you know, you either need to figure out that you're going to play a certain way inside of our system, or this is probably the end of the line for you. I don't know if OBJ is at the end of the line, but here's what it is. Like, when he came, when Dwight Howard came to the Lakers, it was, you've got LeBron James and Anthony Davis, like, and you just need to do all the things that we need you to do, like you just explained. For Odell Beckham Jr., there isn't a, well, the quarterback's no good. Well, we know that's not true. Well, the head coach doesn't know how to use me. Well, that's not true. We know that the head coach is as good as you're going to find. We know that the quarterback's having an MVP-caliber season. You know that the offense works really well because Cooper Kupp's killing it. Robert Woods is killing it. You got all of these different offensive weapons. If it doesn't work, guess whose fault it is? Yours.
Yeah, it's on Odell.
Yeah, there is no – and I, as far as I can tell, Odell Beckham's a pretty smart guy. I think that he's going to realize that, because if this blows up, much like if it would have blown up for Dwight, it's not that, oh, the Lakers didn't get it right with Dwight or the Rams didn't get it right with OBJ. It's that those guys couldn't find a way to get it done, and I think it puts him in a great position. It's all win and very little risk. Now, there's risk for the player, because if the player doesn't work out, now it's like – yeah, dude, this is kind of getting towards the end of the line for you. Odell will get more chances because he's a talented guy.
Yeah.
But this is about as good of a situation as you could ask to be put in. It's not a surprise at all that this is where he chose to go. This is a better situation than whether it's Seattle or Green Bay or when it's New Orleans was another place that you heard. Who wouldn't want to come and play with Matt Stafford? And he's not going to get doubled and triple teamed because you can't leave Kupp, you can't leave Woods. It's a really good opportunity for him. I still have the question of whether or not he seizes the opportunity. We just don't know yet.
So I genuinely think he's not going to be an issue. I think this is a guy that will come in. I'll give you a couple reasons why I believe whether it works or not. I don't know what your definition of works is. Do I think he's going to all of a sudden become the best wide receiver in the NFL? No, I don't think that. But I think works would be a definition of he's a threat. He is somebody that, no, he's not going to get targeted 10 times a game, but that's okay. I think there's
That's the question, though, right? Is it? I mean, he did not like not getting targeted in Cleveland.
So this is why this is different, and this is why I also think it's going to work. You got players who are on this team who were part of the process of recruiting him. By the way, the players could have been the difference of him coming here or going somewhere else. And I know, Trav, you said, listen, whether this dude comes or he doesn't come, what's really going to change? I mean, the Rams are already stacked. They got pretty much everything that they need. But you can just – sometimes you just kind of icing on the cake, or you know what? What if something happens to another wide receiver and then boom, Odell Beckham becomes more of a target?
That's
oh, by the way, does Odell come and that stops him from going to another, you know, the Packers, for example, or Seattle, for example, that you might face down the road? So there's that part of it as well. But the reason why I think it will work, you know, the players that you have on your team, and Odell Beckham can be on the Giants and be a player that stands out. He can be on the Cleveland Browns and be a big-time name. You know what he is with the Rams? He's just another freaking player.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Where the name is actually bigger than his performance.
Oh, no question.
And that's the reality about it. But there are so many stars on this team, and I think the fact that the players went out of their way to try – remember Von Miller was saying a week ago, put up a post saying, hey, come to L.A.? I think the players understand he could be of talent, and I think Odell would respect that, okay, this is an organization fighting for a Super Bowl. There's players that I like on this team, and I got a role to fill. And if I don't fill that role, I might not have that opportunity with the Rams.
Yeah, no, those are really good points, Al. And it's
which one? Because I had a few in a row.
No,
to be honest with you.
I'll tell you which one.
I wanted to stop and reflect for a second and say, Al,
the one I like the best is – His name is far bigger than his performance the last few years.
Yeah.
That you see the name Odell Beckham Jr., like, ooh, yeah, him. And then you look at the back of his football card, and you're like, oh, yeah, he really hasn't been an impact guy for a few years at all. It's not just he had a bad half a season in Cleveland. The thing in Cleveland just flat out didn't work. And it wasn't just for a few games. It was for a few years. It just didn't really work. So it is incumbent on him to become more than just a name, to become an impact player. There are two people that have spoken up about this.
Yep.
One on the Rams, one on the Cleveland Browns. And I think they both had very interesting takes on the arrival of OBJ in L.A. That's coming up next. It's Trav and Slee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I like that one better because it didn't talk about my paper plates. It didn't talk about my late night pizza meltdown.
How many slices?
Four. We got one pizza. We split it in half.
That's a lot.
It's a ton. It's half of a pizza.
It sounds like a good night to me.
It was a great night. I had a good time.
Here's my question. It's all good. But how big are the slices?
So we didn't go fancy last night. We just went straight up Domino's. It was a large Domino's pizza. Michael had half. I had half. We each had four slices. So I would say those are pretty typical slices. They're not like
Domino's is pretty small slices, in my opinion. So
well, there you go. So see, it's basically like the equivalent of two. It wasn't like a Costco slice.
I was going to say, when you say four slices, I just thought of you at Costco ordering four slices of pizza, and they're just all stacked up on top of each other. And then you're like, I'm just going to go get some shopping done.
Like a club sandwich made out of pizza exclusively. Just stack it all up.
Like a toothpick connecting all of them.
Yeah, like a little bridge. That's funny. Yeah, no, four. That's okay, right? I mean, yeah. Al, come on, I'm vulnerable right now. Tell me it was okay. Tell me that I'm going to be okay.
It was a little aggressive. It was a little aggressive. But you're okay.
A little sausage, a little pepperoni, and a little jalapeno. That was what was on that pizza. It was pretty good. It was pretty good.
I was waiting for you to, tell me. But is it gluten-free crust?
It's like, bro, no. Because it was late.
Four slices of pizza with sausage and pepperoni. You're good. Let's just order the meal.
Because it was a little late, a Thursday night and a little late, I think that there weren't a ton of pies that were going out. I think it was just mine because it showed up at my door, and it was still screaming hot. It was so good. It couldn't have gone any better. It was exactly what I needed. All right, it's time for some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. All right, so OBJ is joining the Rams, and I don't know if we'll see him on Monday night or not. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. Maybe we'll get Von Miller, maybe we won't. Hopefully we get to see both of them. John Johnson, who was with the Rams for a while, played really well for the Rams. He was a guy that was, I believe, a third-round draft pick that came in, was not a ton of expectations, and then halfway through his rookie season became the starter at safety and held that job down until he left to go to Cleveland. He was asked about Odell leaving Cleveland and going to L.A. because he knows how L.A. operates, and what he said was, I don't know how that's going to work. I just feel like they had a good thing going, like a complete offense. From being in L.A., I know for a fact the offense runs through Cooper Kupp. Even in the run game, the pass game, the screen game, it kind of runs through Cooper Kupp. Obviously, Odell's a big name. He's going to want that attention as well, so it'll be interesting. Okay, that's the quote from John Johnson, former Ram, current member of the Cleveland Browns. That quote is not good. That quote does not make me feel better. That quote puts me back in the other category of, we sure this is a good idea? Because what he's saying is, I know how that building works in L.A. I've been in it. Yep. I know how it works. It goes through Cooper Kupp, and everything they do on offense is predicated on Cooper Kupp. Odell, what does he say, is a, quote, big name, okay? He's going to want that attention as well. In other words, if you think that he's going to be okay with it going through Cooper Kupp, I got another thing for you. That quote does not fill me with confidence about OBJ coming to Los Angeles.
Well, it's as simple as this. And we're going to find out, Trav, right? Like, this is kind of it's an interesting storyline, certainly for us who get a chance. We're talking local sports on a day-in, day-out basis. You either want to be a part of a team or you want to be an individual on a team. Which one do you want? Because if you're going to be an individual, then you're going to find yourself very isolated on a Rams team that has much bigger names than Odell Beckham Jr. So Odell's a big name. Odell is obviously well known in the world of the NFL. Odell Beckham Jr. is not bigger than four or five names that are sitting on this Rams roster right now. And I'm not talking about from a name perspective. I'm talking about from a production perspective.
Yeah.
So I mention that because if
Odell wants a legitimate chance to win a Super Bowl. He's going to be – Cooper Kupp isn't screaming for the football. He's just a really talented player that happens to understand and work really well with Matt Stafford. That's why he gets the ball. So if you're Odell, if you're coming into this Rams team because it's about you, that's not going to fit well. But I don't think he would because, I think if you're the Rams front office, why would you take – you know, if you're going to roll the dice on a player like this – I'm assuming the conversations you had with him is somebody that's saying, look, I'm here. I just want a chance to win a Super Bowl. However I can help, I can help. Because if you didn't have those conversations, would you really go out there and take the risk in bringing him over?
No, I think you can have the conversation. But I think this is where you and I have kind of a different worldview. I don't care what you say, bro. You can tell me you want to fit into the team. You can tell me you're all about
don't
winning.
Bro
you
me.
Can tell me.
Don't bro me.
I'm broing Odell. You can tell me that you want to win the Super Bowl. What have you done? Because here, let's back this up a touch. Did we ever mention any of this stuff with Von Miller? No. Because Von Miller doesn't have a reputation of being a guy.
Why is Von Miller recruiting Odell Beckham Jr.?
No, hold on. The point being is that Von Miller comes in and everybody's like, can't wait. There was no, hey, if he does what he's supposed to do, it will work. If he can chill out, it will work. No one's saying, well, this will be interesting.
Well,
it was just bring in a great player. Because he's
also
a great player,
to do with
full stop.
Does it also have to do with you needed that specific type of player where you don't need Odell as much on the offensive
side? No, it has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with Odell Beckham's reputation. Von Miller's reputation is, I kick ass on the football field, period. Odell Beckham Jr.'s reputation is, really talented guy, doesn't get along with people very well. Seems to wear out his welcome pretty quickly wherever he goes. Seems that the Browns, who are in the fight to try to win their division, go to the playoffs,
sure,
just let a pretty talented guy leave.
Sure.
I mean, so there's some stuff here. No, Von Miller, it was, we got a great player, stop. With OBJ, it's, we think we're getting a good player, but let's see what happens because of his deal, right? That's part of it. The other part is what Cooper Kupp has said. Cooper Kupp had this quote when we talked about Odell coming to L.A. Quote, again, Cooper Kupp right here. I think the thing about playing here is when you're not about what we're about, when you're not about playing for the guys next to you, I think you can stick out like a sore thumb. I don't think anyone wants that. If you're not about that, there's just not going to be a place for you. It's not going to be comfortable to be here. So being able to have that, I think that calls people up to that standard. And why we've had guys come in other places that just hasn't worked out, come in and be a great teammate, be an incredible player for us. Okay? There's two guys that come to mind, one in particular. Jalen Ramsey is the guy that immediately jumps into mind because Jalen Ramsey is an amazing football player who was outspoken in Jacksonville, who was controversial in Jacksonville, and when he came over, it was, okay, let's see how this works. And it's worked beautifully. He's been great. He's been a leader. He's been a great football player. But there's a difference. The difference was Jalen Ramsey, while air quotes controversial and outspoken and all these things, he was also the best. He was awesome.
Yeah.
He was the best player at his position. That's not Odell Beckham. There's nobody that's arguing that Odell Beckham Jr. is the best wide receiver in football. Nobody's making that case.
Sure.
And in one short paragraph here, Cooper Kupp said four or five times, better fit in because if you don't, it ain't going to work. This was not, yeah, can't wait to get him here, which I know is part of it as well, but it's, hey, listen, we have a way of doing things here, and if you don't want to do them that way, I don't know what to tell you. These are two different guys on two different teams that are kind of saying the same thing. Sure, but I think it's interesting.
I got I got faith that because it's the Los Angeles Rams, the individuals that they have that are the stars on that team, their chances of having a deep run in the playoffs and an opportunity to play at SoFi in the Super Bowl, the fact that there were other star players recruiting him, I think there's a lot of things that line up here that tell you that Odell understands what he's walking into. Could be wrong, Trav. I could be. And I think you and I both said the same thing right out the gate, that we didn't feel like there's going to be much risk because if it doesn't work out, it's not like you got to – yeah, that's right. Just kind of cut him, call it a day. Hey, we tried something. We're going all in, and every opportunity we think it helps us to get closer to winning a Super Bowl, we're going to take advantage of that. But I think you kind of add all that up together. If there were certain players that didn't feel good about the idea, if this was forced down, that, you know what I mean? I don't feel like it's that. And we might be talking, you know, we said that Odell Beckham's name is a lot bigger than his production on the football field. A couple weeks from now, we might be saying the same thing where it's like, hey, you don't really hear that much about Odell because it's not like he's out there catching the ball six times for 125 yards.
That's really interesting. And I'm curious what Rams fans think. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Like, let's just pure football this thing, right?
Okay.
Cooper Kupp is catching about 10 balls a game, over 100 yards. He's getting a touchdown, seemingly, at least once a game. Offensive player of the month twice. There's been 3 months in the season, and the third one's not done. He's been the offensive player of the month.
Wow.
The other two, okay? You got Robert Woods, who's as good at this as anybody, just an incredibly tough, sure-handed, just a good NFL wide receiver. And then you got Van Jefferson, who's kind of a guy that's developing into a good NFL player. How many balls does Odell get? How do you use him? Do you use him like you use DeSean Jackson, which is, hey, I need you to run past everybody and create some space? Because is that what he wants to do? I mean, is that why he's coming here? Or because every ball that he gets is one less that goes to Robert Woods, it's one less that goes to Cooper Kupp, it's one less that goes to Van Jefferson. It'll just be interesting, his production level, because this isn't, hey, we've got nothing at wide receiver. We got to get somebody that can make some plays. Let's just go get Odell and see if we can get him the football. You've got guys in that room. Now, if he adds to that, if all of a sudden, the DeSean Jackson role that didn't really work out the way that Rams fans and DeSean himself was hoping it would work out, if all of a sudden that kind of role, that lane for him is a more successful lane than it was for Jackson, then hell yeah, let's go.
Yeah, I think it's going to come down to this. I don't think there's much risk. I really, really don't. If you catch lightning in a bottle, fantastic. If you don't, you're still one of the favorites coming out of the NFC. And I think, like I'll say this again, there's certain franchises that can take certain risks. I think the Rams can bring Odell Beckham into their system, this unbelievable situation that most of these players are in, and he'll either fall on his face or he'll thrive. And I actually think I feel much better that he'll just be part of a team and be a threat, and I don't really look past it too much after that.
That's the best outcome. If he's a part of the team who
that's all you
is
gotta be.
A threat, that is
yep.
that is a really good addition to the team. And how about this, Al? They are just all in. Every time there's a chance to make a move, the Rams make a move. And it's an incredibly exciting time to be a Rams fan. We got some phone calls coming up on OBJ Plus. Speaking of Cleveland, LeBron, Steph Curry comparison, take it easy, Joe Lacob. Just take it easy over there. We'll get to that, too. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. He's right about that. It makes me smile every time I hear you say it.
I have very bad news on that whole fried chicken sandwich thing.
Okay.
So yesterday, I thought, you know what? Why don't I just have a little bit of an idea what we are walking ourselves into? By the way, this was your idea and an awful idea.
Stop. That's not going to work. I'm not new around here. Go ahead.
I go up on YouTube and I look at Howlin' Rays.
Sure.
You know Sean Evans that does hot ones?
I do.
You know what I'm talking about? He does the wings?
Yes.
Bro, it's not good.
Did he go to Howlin' Rays?
Good. Went to Howlin' Rays. He ate right there. And, you know, you got to put the gloves on, the whole thing. He's doing the wings. We're going to do the sandwich, right? He's doing the wings. I mean, I've watched this guy in a lot of those, the hot ones. I've watched a lot, you know, when he does all the interviews that he does. He was struggling on the one at Howlin' Rays. He was struggling. So I just want to throw this out there. You know, sometimes people bring up bad ideas to the show. And
Travis Lee,
not a good idea on your part.
Emily, can we announce when we're going to do this? Do we have confirmation that that's going down on that day, or do we need to back pocket that for a
in
day or
the
two?
Works?
In the
okay.
works.
Okay,
so
in the works, yeah. Okay, yeah. But soon, I think is a way of kind of
within the next
this.
3 to 4 years, it will happen.
Yeah,
so
this
put that in your calendar.
Long gone by that timeline. That's that's not going to happen.
Love
at
that
all.
Confidence level.
Yeah, without that. Well, look, this is just I'm just happy we get to come back next week. You just never know how this is going to shake out. All right, ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. It is pretty remarkable the LA sports scene of late.
Yeah.
These are guys that were not here a year or so ago that are now all parts of the Los Angeles sports landscape. Matthew Stafford, Russell Westbrook, Max Scherzer, Trey Turner, Odell, Vaughn Miller, Carmelo Anthony. These are not just, oh, we've got a bunch of new guys. Those are all, I'm trying to think. Matthew Stafford, probably not a Hall of Famer unless the back half of his career goes
MVP
really well.
MVP candidate this year.
Absolutely. And an impact player. Russell Westbrook's going to the Hall of Fame. Max Scherzer's going to the Hall of Fame. Trey Turner is a batting champion. Odell Beckham Jr., huge name. Vaughn Miller, Super Bowl champion. Carmelo Anthony going to the Hall of Fame. It's a lot of pretty talented guys coming into this city.
All of it means nothing unless you go win the whole thing. So
I
say that. You're listen,
totally
the names
right.
are awesome. They really are. If you'd have told me, you know, Dodger fans can speak to this, it was fantastic. You had all those names. Amazing. Just fantastic. You didn't win it all, and that's all they'll probably remember when the dust settles. So
we'll
see what happens with the Rams, the Lakers, and you know obviously Dodgers this year as well.
That's the price of being a professional sports team here in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Getting close and being good. Okay,
means
cool.
Means nothing.
Cool. Good for you. Mm-hmm. Let me know when the parade is, and then I'll get super fired up for it. That's just the way that it goes here. All right.
Yeah.
Let's go to the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Let's go to Orange County and Matt. Matt, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up, Matt?
Hi. So just like Scherzer going to the Dodgers and, more importantly, not going to the Padres, OBJ is not going to the Bucks, Cardinals, or Packers.
I hear you.
There's a case to be made, but I think your stock is way too high, you know, to kind of make that comparison. I get what he's saying. I get the concept of it. The concept is, well, Max Scherzer, it was a defense against the Padres. Max Scherzer is a Cy Young Award winner who probably, you know, will very well win it all.
He was
the, you know, one of the most key acquisitions in the history of the trade deadline. Like, that's how big he was. That's how great he was. I get the idea and the concept, but OBJ is not in that conversation at all.
No, look, Max Scherzer is a Hall of Famer and is the best in the business right now. Odell Beckham Jr. is a big name.
Mm-hmm.
We need to make the distinction between the two. He's a big name with a lot of potential to make a big impact, but the fact of the matter is he has not been an impactful NFL player for a while. He is a much bigger name than he is an impactful player over the last couple of seasons. Now, let me be crystal clear.
Yep.
I wouldn't be shocked if he came in here and killed it. I wouldn't be surprised. I'm optimistic that he might, but this is not you kept DeAndre Hopkins from going to the Packers.
Sure.
This is a guy that was, you know, it's a wild card, right? There's upside. The risk is not for the team because, like we've said a handful of times, if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. You shake his hand, you send him down the road, and you say, you know, better luck on your next team. But it's big risk for him because every time he goes somewhere and it doesn't work, it's less likely it's going to work in the next place. This isn't Antonio Brown, who's very, you know, we know Antonio Brown. We know what comes along with Antonio Brown, all the stuff. But what comes along with Antonio Brown is insane production.
But
he's a fantastic player.
You said you wouldn't be shocked if he comes out here and kills it. I would be. I think all he has to be is just a piece of the whole mix, right?
But
just be a threat with everybody else. But you don't have to. Nobody's looking here to try and think Odell's supposed to come in and like I said, have 8 catches a game for 125. You don't have to do that. No,
honestly,
just be a threat.
I think that's why he's got a chance to do it because you're
so
not
much
taking
attention on these other guys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're not okay. What are you going to do with Cooper Kupp? Whatever you're doing to him already doesn't work. You know what I mean? He's already getting open by huge gaps as it is without Odell Beckham Jr. on the field. Robert Woods is having another really solid season along the way. It's not like, okay, we're going to put 2 guys on Odell or we're going to put our best corner on Odell and he's going to get a lot of times their third best defender, maybe less than that. You're going to get a lot of opportunities for him to do a whole bunch of things. And it's funny. This is kind of off topic a little bit. Cam Akers, I think it was on Instagram, said, hey, what if I get back by the playoffs? We keep forgetting. Cam Akers was fantastic for the Rams last year. Gets hurt before the season even starts. But Sean McVay said a couple of weeks ago, hey, don't be surprised if we get him back by the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Now, all of a sudden, you talk about you're getting not just a name, but you're getting back a guy that understands exactly what it is that your culture's about, your team's mm-hmm. about, your scheme's about. They could actually continue to get better through the rest mm-hmm. of the season.
Yeah, as long as Stafford doesn't throw spot the Titans 2 touchdowns before.
Wasn't a good night.
If it starts.
Why are you doing the Travis thing where you bring up the most negative aspect of something? That's my role. You stay over there and be optimistic. Eeyore.
On the Stafford thing, I bring it up just because he's been great all season. He had a bad game. You could even say a bad half, right? And it wasn't as bad in the second half, even though they really didn't move the ball all that much. But I say it only because it never happens. And that's it. There's no other reason for that.
All right, one more quick call here. Dr. Pepper, call in line. Garden Grove, this is the next stop. And Clark. Clark, you're on with Travis Lee. What's up, Clark?
Hey, thanks, guys. But, yeah, you guys hit the nail on the head. I mean, you think about this, these formations that McVay gets to work with Kupp and Woods and Jefferson, Higbee. And, I mean, you're looking at five open or five-piece sets with empty backfields. And if OBJ is like a third or fourth option – this could actually go absolutely bonkers. I mean, this could go totally crazy. And I totally agree with what you said. His numbers aren't that great. He's got zero touchdowns this year. I don't think he had a touchdown last year. And his name is definitely bigger than his stats. But this is an opportunity for him to come in and say, look, I'm a professional. I've got a big name, and I'm going to go out there and get it. And I'm getting a ring with this team.
Appreciate you calling in, Clark. Appreciate you calling in. Yeah, Trav, I think we've kind of hit on this, and this is going to be what it comes. You're either going to get results, and you're going to be a part of this team, or you're going to be, you know, an individual on a roster that has a ton of players that are all pulling the rope in the same direction. I think it's going to be the first one. I think he will accept his role, whatever that role is, and they'll figure it out. Might take a couple weeks for him to figure it out and get comfortable, but I think he'll make it happen.
Yeah, Odell had zero touchdowns with the Cleveland Browns this year. He did have touchdowns last year. He had three touchdowns for the Browns last year, four the season before that, and he had six in New York in 2018, his last season there. So, you know, he gets in the end zone a little bit. He's got 51 touchdowns in his career, but he has not, the last couple of years and last three seasons combined, he's had 13 touchdowns. I think Cooper Kupp right now has nine.
Okay.
So it's a little different.
The owner of the Golden State Warriors wants to try to make some comparisons here with Steph Curry and LeBron James. At 10:55, we'll get a chance to talk about that. Kind of more ridiculous to even have that as a conversation. But we'll also preview the Lakers and the Timberwolves coming up tonight. And coming up next, Trav, I'll let you go ahead and do what you do.
I was just going to see how you're going to handle that, because we all know what's coming up next. There's
Ask
a new graphic.
Trav coming up next.
Nope, there's a graphic with your face and everybody's tweets, the favorite segment in the entire city. Ask Slee coming up next on 710 ESPN. I really love the new graphic we have for Ask Slee. Whoever was responsible for that on the social team, good work. It is terrific. All right, you ready, Slee?
Let's do it.
All right, here we go. This is goes perfect with what we were talking about with OBJ. We're going to start with TFP, who says, who has gotten more run from doing one thing in their career? Mm-hmm. Dave Roberts for that steal in Game 4 or Odell Beckham Jr. for that one catch because Eli threw a bad pass?
Who's got more? I mean, obviously, the meaningful one. It's not even close from that department. Of course, Dave Roberts, the steal. I almost feel like that whole documentary was made on the Yankees and the Red Sox and being down 3-0. It all ignited by Dave Roberts. But, bro, how many times have you seen the Odell Beckham Jr. catch? How many times have you seen it?
Oh, it feels like I see it once a week. It really does, because he caught it with, never mind one hand, he caught it over his head.
Yep.
He caught it with his thumb and his ring finger. He caught it with two fingers.
Just ridiculous. Just ridiculous. So I'm going to lean towards Odell on this one, because we're still seeing it all the time. Even right now, when you guys, you know, when the news came out yesterday, Odell Beckham Jr. is signing with the Rams, immediately I was like, you know what, that's a good catch. Pretty good catch. Yeah, I'm still referring to that highlight from X amount of years ago.
No doubt. All right.
And now so many young kids also only learn how to catch also by doing the OBJ catch.
Yeah,
so.
Don't do that, kids. Put two hands on the ball at all time, all 10 fingers, not just two of the 10. Next stop, Darb. I think you'll understand this because I think I do, but I'm not sure. Old towels or a chamois? Hashtag Ask Slee.
Old towels.
Really?
Yeah, old towels.
Why? Because I would have gone the other way. I would have gone chamois.
Because they're here. They're there. They're convenient. You always have towels kind of laying around. You always have a towel. Like, do I still really own that? I mean, the almost all the string is off. Let's take it out by the car and dry a couple things. Yeah, I think I go old towels.
I got this at Dodger Stadium in 1984. Why is this still in the rotation?
How funny is that, bro? Those giveaways. You're right. Those giveaways. Okay, about a week ago. No, it was opening night. Opening night, Lakers taking on the Warriors. I think it was opening night. They're giving out shirts, and the shirts say $18,997. Okay?
Okay.
That's a sellout. First time Lakers had a sellout because of COVID, all the, you know, everything. It's been a year and a half. And Bergman at one point came and sat next to me, And there was a shirt there, and I'm like, "Hey, it's your shirt." And he's like, "No, I don't wear any of those." I'm like, "All right, give it to your, you know, give it to somebody." And then yesterday when he walked in to do the NFL pick-ems, he's like, "Bro, I've been wearing that yellow shirt." That thing, those giveaways, some of those giveaways just they end up forever. Within the family for 44 years.
It's very true. Don't sleep on a good chamois, though, because when it gets nice and wet, you just wring it out and it's bone dry again. Love a good chamois. All right, next stop, Dave in San Clemente. When Lady Slee says she has a car problem, do you pop the hood and look around and then say you can't fix it because you don't have the right tools?
Can I tell you something? I wish that I had just an ounce of confidence about either fixing a vehicle or something goes on at the house and it's like, all right, well, I don't even have that ounce to where I would say, okay, well, let me at least just take a look. I don't even go that far. You want to use your AAA or you want to use my AAA? Which one are we using, okay? I'm fine with either one. You know what? We should get out of the car and go for a little walk here and wait for AAA to come. Let the guys who actually know what's going on take a look at the damn view. Because if I pop open that hood, it's the equivalent of me, I don't know, going to a restaurant, somebody saying, hey, do you want to cook this special Italian dish? I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing, guys.
The car is the worst because I don't know the parts on a car. Like if you say if the carpenter comes over and says, oh, hey, the flashing on your roof needs to be, at least I know what that is, mm-hmm. right? At least I know that with the pieces of the house that if you say to me, hey, we need to fix the window, the panes. Oh, okay, mm-hmm. I got it. But you could tell me that you need to fix the flux capacitor in my car and I'd be like, yeah, cool.
You know what I'm going to do next time?
All of them or just one? I have no idea what's in there.
Who sent out the tweet? Who was that sent out the tweet?
Dave in San Clemente.
Okay. This is what I'm going to do next time, Dave. I'm gonna just play this off. I'm going to say, do me a favor. Just pop open the hood for a quick second. Then I'm going to go over to the car. I'm going to tell her, look, turn on your left signal light. Okay. Hit the brakes for a quick second. Okay. Get out of the car. We're going to call AAA. I'll give it like 10 seconds of maybe he knows what he's doing, but she's not going to buy it either.
All right, Anthony Gaeta says, when Slee is out having drinks with the guys and someone gets up to use the restroom, does Slee announce, guess you broke the seal, huh, bro?
That's awesome. No, but I'm going to write that down and use that for the next time. We'll introduce that to the pack.
It's a pretty good deal. It's a good one. All right, Brad, hashtag ask Slee. When Slee heads to the pool in the summer, does he immediately dive in, jump in, or does he stick his toes in the water to check the temperature first?
Okay, this is actually pretty good. This is pretty good. I don't know where you are on Trav, but I'd rather just kind of jump in and get it over with. Like, let's just get this thing out of the way. Now, the people who are trying to walk in the pool, I don't understand it. Like, I don't understand the walking every step and the whole way, like, ah. Oh, that's kind of cold. You know, it's like you're making this process a 3-minute process that could have been done in 6 seconds. So I would rather just jump in the pool.
Cannonball into the deep end every single time. You just got, and the same, by the way, same thing goes for the ocean, which is usually a little colder. You can't just slow, you just got to go full speed
go.
In the sand, into
wave
the water.
Comes, yep, wave just comes, just dive right under it and go.
And get that first where you go. Get it out of the way and keep things moving. All right, Jason Levine says, how did the first person who compiled the first dictionary know that they spelled all the words right? Hashtag ask Slee.
It's a pretty good question right there. It's a good question. I don't have that answer there. I don't have the answer there.
That's one of those kind of things you want to think on when you're trying to fall asleep. Like, spend 30 seconds on that, and you'll be out like a light.
No, listen, you know what's funny? I saw somebody... I don't know. Maybe this was politically motivated. I have no idea. But it was just a tweet that just said, where are the fact checkers for the fact checkers? And I just sat there. I'm like, that's a good point. It's not a bad point. I don't know where they are.
One more very quickly. J-O-F. Are you a if you're on time, you're late kind of guy? Hashtag ask Slee. It's kind of important for our friendship.
No, let's use we do our prep call at 8 a.m. I'm at 8 a.m. I'm not showing up at 7:50. I'd like to think I show up at 7:50, but I'm not. I'm there at 8 a.m. You guys see the Zoom. Usually everyone's already on it, and I'm right there right at 8 a.m. I'm on time.
If you're 5 minutes early, you're on time. If you're on time, you're late. And if you're late, is unacceptable. That's the coaching mantra that goes through my head
Smart.
Over and over
That's how it
and
should
over
be.
Again. Absolutely. All right, there's the Astley. By the way, there's going to be a lot of bonus Astley today. We got through about maybe half of those. So if you did not get your Astley read, stick around because we got more of those coming up. You mentioned it, Slee. Yep. Steph and the Warriors, their owner, Joe Lacob, had some interesting comments about LeBron James. That's coming up next. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.